thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that there is absolutely no one like you, and that is why we stand amazed tonight. We're so grateful for your presence. We're so thankful and overjoyed by your grace that, Lord God, no matter what we're facing and when we're facing it, you're not far away. You're right there in the midst of our circumstance, the midst of our problem. Whether we are weary or, Lord, whether we are doing well, you are there with us. You are our Savior, our Redeemer, our King, our Encourager, our Strengthener. Lord, there is absolutely no one like you. You are the light and the hope of the world, and it's in you tonight we place our hope and our trust. We know that you care for us and that, Lord, tonight may be the last night that we may all go home. The church may be removed tonight and we may find ourselves meeting you in the air, and forever we shall be with you, forever and ever and ever. And Lord, we are eagerly looking and waiting. Help me somehow tonight, Lord, through the fog that I'm in right now, to simply teach your word accurately and faithfully, Lord. Lord, bless it now. Bless your people and free them tonight from whatever fear that they may have or whatever they're going through. There is no circumstance, no situation bigger than Jesus Christ. And we look to you tonight in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn to the book tonight that we love so much. We're loving Leviticus, aren't we? We're in chapter 14, and we're going to just love all these 50-some-odd verses tonight. Leviticus chapter 14. We're going to continue with the law of leprosy. This is the law of leprosy part 2, by the way. And I've entitled going through this book, Loving Leviticus, because so few people actually love it. And, you know, I think Leviticus is one of the greatest books in the Bible. Amen? Whether we, you know, we don't put all those necessarily all those scriptures on our refrigerator and so forth. But let me tell you something. If you want to find a commentary from God speaking, there's no greater book than Leviticus, because he's doing all the talking. Amen? And so we find this tonight as the theme is the call for holiness. Those have been redeemed out of the bondage of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. God says, "You be holy, for I am holy." So the law of leprosy, we've been talking about that last Wednesday night and tonight. The law of leprosy, not the treatment for leprosy. For then there was no cure except God's mercy. Amen? And so the law of leprosy tonight, and from all the diseases known, God has chosen leprosy as a type of sin. And we were all once spiritual lepers, weren't we? Thank God he has not only cleansed us, he has healed us, and he has delivered us. Remember last week that the priest had to examine if a person had a little sore, a little scab, or a little white marking that was coming on their body. They had to go to the priest, and they had to show themselves, and the priest would examine them. And if he would, you know, isolate them for 7 days and then ask them to come back. And then if he thought it was maybe clearing up, he'd send them out another 7 days and so forth. At the end of 2 weeks, though, if it was not cleared up, then we knew that it was leprosy. So look back with me at chapter 13, verse 45, because if you were pronounced unclean, it was a word that you never, ever wanted to hear. Look at Leviticus 13:45. "Now the leper on whom the sore is," look what he has to do, "his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean,' and he shall be unclean all the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone." Look at that word, dwell alone. "And his dwelling shall be" where? "Outside the camp." So remember, we learned last week when we went into Matthew chapter 8, making application of chapter 13, about the leper who came and worshiped the Lord and said, "Lord, would you heal me?" He said, "Are you willing?" And Jesus said, "I am willing. Be made whole, be cleansed." And he was. And but if you were a leper, then you had to, if the wind was blowing, you had to, in your direction, you had to be 150 paces downwind or 50 paces away from the individual. You had to scream out as they were approaching, "Unclean, unclean." And as you did, you had to cover your mouth, or the mustache, as it would say, the upper lip. that horrible disease of leprosy, which is, of course, in the Bible, a type of sin. Leprosy numbs your body. Your fingers literally rot off and so forth, as we talked about last week. And that's one of the horrible things about leprosy, is that it's a painless disease. And that's what sin does. It's a painless until it overtakes us and destroys lives. Amen? So tonight, as we look at this, you know, they remember a leper, once you were pronounced unclean, you were not allowed to go to the synagogue, or there it would be the tabernacle. You were not allowed to go back home to your family. The minute you heard that word unclean, you were excommunicated, if you will, from society. You had to dwell all alone, all by yourself. You had to speak, if you can imagine, to your children, to your loved ones, to your wife, all from a distance. And you could never, ever go home again until God, or until the leprosy was gone. Imagine staying in that state forever. And we left off last week, remember, with Jesus healing that leper. And let me just read from Matthew just a few verses. It says in Matthew 8:4, it says, "And Jesus said to him," meaning the leper, "see that you tell no one." See, Jesus healed him. He says, "But go your way, show yourself to the priest." Now, that's what we learned last week, Leviticus chapter 13. Go show yourself to the priest. And listen to what Jesus said. "Now that you're made whole," he says, "offer the gift that Moses commanded as a witness to them," meaning to the priest. So that's Leviticus chapter 14. Now, he's now whole from his disease. He's no longer a leper. And look what happens. It's amazing, these 32 verses that we're going to cover tonight, and then also the law of leprosy concerning leprosy in the home. But let's look, beginning in Leviticus 14:1, and see what we can make application of tonight. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. Indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper.'" Now, even though the leper was made whole or cleansed, he still couldn't go into the camp. And did you notice something? That the priest had to go out to him, for example. You know, that's what the priest does. The priest goes to the leper. Aren't you glad that Jesus came for us? That Jesus, you know, Luke 19:10, you know, where he came to seek and save those that are lost. Aren't you glad that he found you, that he saved you, that he cleansed you, that he loves you, that he'll never leave you, never forsake you, even when you are so messed up and you're falling apart and you think that God doesn't love you, that somehow, some way, he wrenches you back, he pulls you back, he breaks your legs if he must, but the shepherd will not lose the sheep that's genuinely saved. Amen? I don't know how that makes you feel, but that makes me feel wonderful tonight. The security of the believer, the ones who are truly saved, saved in their heart, following Jesus. And I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, watch this now. The next step in the instructions for cleansing, verse 4. "Then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed," watch this, "two living clean birds." Now, this is the most unusual sacrifice system here for this. Now, watch. "Two living clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in a" what? Say it with me. "Earthen vessel." Isn't that odd? "Be killed in an earthen vessel." Now, also look at this. "Over running water," or literally over living water. Living water is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. And it says, as for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop," and look what he's going to do, "dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water." Now listen very carefully. This sacrifice, this cleansing, is not happening at the brazen altar. All the other sacrifices always happened at the brazen altar. The brazen altar, the picture of the cross, if you will, where Jesus paid for our sins, where Jesus died. He took our place. And I look at this and I say, whoa, this one's not like that at all. The leper is shut out. The priest has to go to him. Let me say something to you. We were shut out. Amen? We were without hope. We were without God. We were strangers to the covenant and so forth. We were helpless and hopeless, without strength. But in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. And I look at that and I say, whoa, We were shut out, and what did Jesus do? Remember, the priest had to go out to the leper. Leprosy is a type of sin. Jesus, it says here, are literally, we know that we were shut out, and Jesus came down from heaven, and what did he become? He became man. He was born of a virgin. He became the God-man. Now listen, so Jesus put himself in an earthen vessel, if you will. In other words, he became the God-man, a clay pot, an earthen vessel. You know, like what does the Bible say? We have, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure, the resurrected Lord, as I said last Sunday, the resurrected living Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us. Thank God he lives in us tonight. Amen. And so here's Jesus. That's what this typifies. He comes down, and he, as he comes, he obtains that earthen vessel. He is born a virgin, born a man. And the one bird that is killed is signifying the death of Christ, and the living bird is the resurrection of Christ. I look at this and I say, oh Lord, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Not according to our emotions, not according to our feelings, according to the word of God. Amen? What a wonderful thing to know. Verse 7, and he shall sprinkle it seven times. Remember, seven is always the perfect number with God, so it speaks of perfect completion. Seven times of him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy. And look what the priest is going to do now. And shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose in the open field. In the open field. So what kept him from entering the camp, what kept us from going to God the Father, it says now has been taken away. The hyssop and the living water, sprinkling all that and the blood of the slain bird seven times. Perfectly cleansed now, perfectly made whole. That's our identification with Christ. Amen? Without the Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is absolutely no remission of sin. So how did the leper know that he could return to camp? The priest told him, amen? The priest pronounced him clean. How do we know that we have been pronounced clean? God's told us. Amen? God's told us. Our great high priest has told us. Listen, it says in John 19:30, remember when Jesus was dying there on the cross, he said, it is finished. That means that our sin debt, all that we have done, it was absolutely paid in full. And God sees us as our sin debt paid in full because of his Son. Our redemption is so complete in Christ. The Bible says, as I've quoted a million times I know in my life, that our sins are as far as the east is from the west. He's removed our transgressions from us. Amen. He's hidden our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions into the depths of the sea. They're totally forgiven. They're totally forgotten. And I'm thankful that it says in Hebrews 9:12 that not with the blood and bull of goats, but with his own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In other words, it is finished. That's how we know we're going to heaven. We trust God's word. We believe what God has told us. Jesus lives in our heart. Verse 8 says, and he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent. He can get into the camp, but he can't even get into his own tent, okay? And he'll stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave off all of his hair, off his head, his beard, his eyebrows, and his hair shall he shave off, and he shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. Is that the strangest scripture you've ever read? I have that on my refrigerator. What is he saying? He's saying you used to be dirty everywhere. And the effects of all that leprosy, the scabs, the scales, now you're clean. He says, go in there and clean yourself. Wash off all the effects of the leprosy. Wash off all of the effects of the sin. Take off those old dead clothes, those vile clothes that stink and so forth. He says, your old life is over. In other words, in our case, it'd be it's new creation time. Amen? We've been born again, thank God. And so what he's saying is God has set you free. And if God has set you free, he's telling to the leper, he's telling to us as well, then act like you're free. Believe that God has set you free. In other words, if you're going to go back to your home, if you're going to go back to the camp, if you're going to be among God's people again, then act like God's people. Amen? That's what he's saying. Verse 10, and on the eighth day, the number of new beginning. Eight is the number of a new beginning. He shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of ephah, a fine flour. Now that's about 9 pounds of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering and one log of oil. Now, you know, listen, God is specific in what he wants. And, you know, we read the Bible sometimes in our American mindset. We're always in fast-paced and saying, this is not helping me, this is not interesting, and so forth. Let me tell you what I found in my life, that when you come to text that just doesn't seem to mean much, or it means something but you're not getting it, that's when you want to dig. That's when you want to sit there and dig so you really understand. All of this is describing how a person can't even be cleansed, but how God will accept them and how you can approach God. See, we're a New Testament Christian. We're not the Old Covenant. But I'm going to tell you something. We can't approach God without the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We have to approach God his way. We have to love God his way, not our way. Man, listen, that's important. He's the one that saved us, purchased us, bought us. And God says, listen, I want you to have one log of oil, whether you like it or not. And I'm adding to scripture, okay? In other words, 2/3 of a pint. And then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things. And he says, do it before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take one male lamb, offer it as a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. Now, let's stop right there. Did you notice all those offerings? We've already covered all those offerings. Amen? But God says, welcome back, Mr. Former Leper. You've been gone a long time. Now, if you're going to come back into the congregation, you're going to start living like everybody else. Do you understand what I'm getting at? You're going to have to bring all of these offerings and so forth. Remember the grain offering. That was an offering, remember, had no blood. God says, you have to bring that. And what is that a picture of? That's the picture of Christ's perfect life, his perfect humanity. Jesus is our grain offering. He is that fine flour. Amen? And then it says also bring the trespass offering. Remember, the trespass offering showed us that sin was a debt. Romans 6:23 teaches us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So Jesus paid our debt. Jesus is our trespass offering. All that we're learning here, everything, all these offerings, again, as we have already learned, paint a picture or point to Jesus Christ our Lord. The trespass offering. You know, the Bible says in Colossians, it says that we who were dead in trespasses and sins, it says he has made us alive together, having forgiven all our trespasses. All of them. Trespasses, stepping over the line, going against what God has said, willful sin, known sin. God says, I've forgiven you all your trespasses. And listen to this part. It says in Colossians, and having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he, meaning Jesus, now no one else but Jesus, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. All of my sin, as you've heard me say before, what I don't know if it would be a novel or maybe an entire set of encyclopedias, but the good news is it was all nailed at the cross. And yours as well. Everything that was against us, all of my guilt, all of my shame, my bad motivations, all the things that I have done, that you've done, they have been nailed to the cross, and we are forever forgiven. Now listen to me. It means this. It means that there is not one accusation in heaven against you right now. Amen? No, listen, if there's nothing else to make you happy tonight, that should make you very happy, okay? In other words, like Romans chapter 8, the Magna Carta of the New Testament, if you will. Romans 8, 1, all the way through the finish, it begins with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. I tell you, our sins are forgiven. Jesus' sacrifice satisfied the heart of God. Amen? And if God is satisfied, let us be satisfied as well. Thank God we're forgiven. And then so we have that the grain offering, the trespass offering, and then the burnt offering. Remember, the burnt offering is where we see Jesus dying. There, the brazen altar is the cross, the place of sacrifice. It's where someone has taken our place. An innocent, in our case, an innocent Savior. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's our substitute. And now we're to be his living sacrifices. Amen? And then the sin offering. The sin offering always deals with our human nature, our fallen human nature. We were all born sinners. And there's no one that has never sinned. Amen? Except Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible tells us, for he, meaning God, has made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of Christ, or not righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Thank God for that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, and God treated Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, as if he sinned all the sins of the world, yet he never sinned. Oh, Easter is coming. Amen? That wonderful celebration. Verse 14. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who's to be cleansed, and on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot. In other words, we need to hear God. We need to serve God, and we need to walk in the ways of God. And the priest shall take some of the log of the oil, pour it on the palm of his hand, of his left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is on his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil in his hand, the priest shall put upon the tip of the right ear, who is to be cleansed, and the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, and the blood of the trespass offering, and the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, so the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. You know what? Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice never, ever, ever remove their sin. It only covered sin. Amen? You know, let me ask you a question. Did those verses that I read to you, did they sound just a little familiar? Didn't they? If you go back and read Leviticus chapter 8 and study that out, you know what you're going to find? That's just about exactly what Moses did at the ordination of Aaron as priest and his sons. So very, very similar there. So what does that paint a picture for us? Well, God treats and accepts this former leper, a former sinner, if you will. Leprosy is a type of sin. He treats him now as priest. We're priest unto God tonight, aren't we? Yes, we are. Now, verses 19 through 32, the former leper is going to bring the offerings to the priest. And you see, the reason he couldn't do that before, because he was outside the camp. He was a leper. He was unclean. He could not come to the tabernacle. He couldn't bring any of the offerings and so forth. But what I want you to take note of this concerning the sacrifices, watch this now. Look at verse 21, talking about the sacrifices that he had to bring for the cleansing of the leper that has already been cleansed. Okay, now watch. It says in verse 21, if he is poor and cannot afford it, well, then you can bring another type. Look at verse 30. It says, he shall bring such as he can afford. Verse 31, such as he is able to afford. Verse 32, it says, this is the law of the one who has a leprous sore, who cannot afford the usual cleansing. God is so good. Listen, how would you think about this? You know, we don't think sometimes when we study God's word. You know, if you're a leper, Are you outside the camp? Yes. Do you dwell alone? Yes. Can you go to the tabernacle? No. Can you work for anyone? No. How are you going to make a living? You don't. So God is so good in his mercy, because when you're a leper, you're an outcast and so forth. He's been unable to work, unable to make a living. And God says, you know what? You can read it when you get home. It's all self-explanatory there. But God says, you know what? I know you can afford this little dove or this little pigeon or something. Amen? In other words, God says, I made it to where anyone can come to me. And may I say to you that God has made it today where any of us can come to him at any time. No matter how rich or no matter how poor, because he loves us so much. Look at verse 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, and when you come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you as a possession, pardon me, look what he says now. And I put the leprous plague in the house. Did you catch what I just said? God says, I'm doing this. When I put the leprous plague in a house in the land of your possession, remember the land of Canaan. They're not there yet. They're still in the desert. And you know what? They're going to go into Canaan, but many years later, of course, as we'll learn. But the thing is, God promised to Abraham and his descendants the land. Amen? So God says, when you finally come into that land that I promised to Abraham and for his descendants, he said, listen very carefully. And he who owns that house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there's some plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it to examine the plague. And all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in and examine the house. Now listen, the rest of these verses are self-explanatory. He's going to say, you know, go in, empty everything out. Wait a week, maybe wait two. And if you see all this green, gooey stuff on the walls and so forth, you know, you scrape it out. And if it comes back, he says, well, you got a problem. You understand? He says, maybe it's just on the stones. We'll just take a few of the stones out. And then if it works out all right, well, then go ahead and replaster everything. Wait a week and so forth. If nothing's appearing, your house is clean. Are you following me? Still, it had to be cleansed and so forth. It's very self-explanatory. I want you to read that when you get home. Now, listen. So these verses don't need any commentary, I believe. And also, the rite for cleansing the leper's home, or the leper's house, I'm sorry, is the same as cleansing the person. The same sacrifices and so forth. Now, here's what I want to ask you tonight with the time we have remaining. Why did God put the leprous plague there? That troubled me when I read that. I said, now, Lord, now why would you put a leprous plague in a house? Why would you do that? I mean, wouldn't you say there has to be a reason? And I look at that and I started thinking of that. Because, see, when the children of Israel inhabit the land, when they chase out the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Mosquitobites, and all the rest of them, you know what I'm saying? They're going to take over and say, that's my house now. And they're going to move into a house that belonged to the Canaanites. Now, when you study out the Canaanites, they were the vilest people on earth. Matter of fact, you read Leviticus 18, and it'll tell you all the things that the Canaanites were practicing and all the things that they were doing, okay? Now, not only that, their lifestyle was evil. It was corrupt. They sacrificed their children to demons, okay? Listen to Kyle and Delitch. Let me tell you what they wrote in their commentary about what I'm reading about this, the plague of leprosy in a home. It says, the only thing that can be gathered from the signs mentioned is that the house leprosy was an evil. So I said, okay, well, that's very good. So like any good pastor, I went to the Midrash, you know, the rabbinical commentary on Leviticus chapter 14. And I said, well, what do they say, the Jewish people, what do they say about this? Let me read. The Amorites, it says, concealed treasures of gold in the walls of their houses during the 40 years of Israel's wandering in the wilderness, in order that when the Israelites conquered the land, they would not be able to lay their hands on these valuables. God, therefore, smote the houses with the plague that the Israelites should demolish them and so discover the hidden treasure. Now, think about that. Now, are you excited yet? Now, let's stop right there and look at verse 45 before you get too excited. Because, you know, it says, and he shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, all of the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them where? Outside the city, not to the bank. Outside the city to an unclean place. Now, listen very carefully. This was not to make them wealthy. It was to keep them healthy. Amen? And not only that, they could not keep this hidden treasure, and it was horrible. You see, they would start removing the stones and removing the filth, the vile, and so forth, and then all of a sudden they'd see the skeleton of a little child that the family, the Canaanites, had sacrificed. Over in this corner, they would see emblems and vessels of gold, but they're actually idols, demonic. Do you understand me? And they would find all those things, even though valuable to the world, they were demonic idols. And they would come and they would say, God says, I want all of that filth, all of those unclean vessels, all of those things that are evil, the bones of those children, the stones, the timber, everything. You take it to that unclean place and you dump it there. Look at verse 53. And then he shall let the living bird loose, the same sacrifice, outside the city in the open field. The reason? And make atonement for the house. The house, think of that. The home that they live in. And it shall be clean. This is the law of any leprous sore, scale, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for a swelling and a scab and a bright spot. The reason? To teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. Now, loved one, listen to me. It was not only just hygiene, you know, hygiene, okay? It was spiritual as well. You know, I could tell you things about what people have in their homes throughout the last 30 years of teaching the gospel, loved one, and I'll tell you, I have seen things that would literally, that you talking about cause demonic activity. It's unbelievable. You know, listen, the house needed to be clean. Do you remember when Paul, there in Acts chapter 19, when Paul came to Ephesus, now, you know, modern day Turkey, remember? He came to Ephesus and he only found a city that was rooted in the demonic, rooted in black magic and given over to all kinds of demon activity. The city, if you studied it out, the city was full of wandering wizards and priests and so forth with all of their enchantments. Actually, Ephesus was literally a storehouse for magical scrolls. And remember when Paul came and preached the gospel and all those people received the Lord? And listen to what they did, Acts 19:19. It says, and many of those who had practiced magic brought their books, in other words, the books that were filled with spells and formulas and astrology and all that. They brought their books all together and they burned them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the value of them and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Do you know that's the equivalent of 20 years work for 10 laborers? Think about that. Now listen, that's an expensive bonfire, wouldn't you say? And I look at that and listen, it says that they cleaned out their homes. Cleaned out their homes. In other words, they put the leprosy, they put the sin, they put the devil, they put the demonic. They got it out of their house. In today's standard, we would say that they took and burned the horoscope. You know anybody read your horoscope? They call it a horoscope. You know, and you are the Ouija boards. Oh, that's just for fun. No, they're not. I wouldn't even look at a Ouija board. People leave things on my front door from cults passing out their brochures. I will not carry that into my house. I carry it out and I put it in the garage where the trash is. I will not bring that into my home. Are you listening to me? Listen. Tea leaves and tarot cards and all of that. You don't want to ever open the door. The things that we bring into our house, we must be very careful about. I may sound very silly right now, but it's okay. You can call me silly if you want to. Anytime I purchase an automobile, furniture that's used, even when I buy a shirt, a white shirt, I pray over everything that enters my home. Everything that enters my home. Especially when I bring it, like I pick it up at a garage sale. You say, Bill, that's silly. Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. I have seen things Loved one, listen. I remember in my first pastorate, there was a good-looking 17-year-old boy, blonde-headed, blue eyes, stocky built. One night, his parents brought him to me. And when he saw me, it was at the church. It was a Sunday night service. They brought him. He ran and he hid in the corner, started screaming. He wouldn't come to me. And I said, what is he involved in? He said, well, he's starting to sacrifice cats and dogs, and we don't understand what he's joined this satanic group, and they're offering these sacrifices. And I said, what's in his room? I go to his home, and his whole room is covered with the pentagram and the signs of devil and 666 and all the rest of it. And I told those people, I said, rip everything out of his room. I said, you are his mother. You are his father. Get that vile, evil trash out of that boy's room. Pray over your son before he loses his mind. I'm being honest. I prayed with the boy. They did that. He was great for about 2 months. Then he started the ritual all over again. And they didn't do anything about it. They let him bring vile things into their home. About 6 months later, he was in the living room of his home. I'm sorry, the kitchen. He was mad at his mother and he was mad at his father because they would not let him go to the motion picture theater to see a movie. As he sat there in the kitchen and they were absent, he walked over to the sink and there was a butcher knife there. He heard a voice that said, pick up the knife, and when your father comes through the door, plunge it into his chest. And then when your mother comes home, kill her as well. I'm telling you the truth right now. I don't ever lie anyway. The dad came home and he picked up the knife. And thank God the father discerned what was going on and stopped his son and was able to wrestle the knife out of the son's hand. Because they did not do what was right. I'm not blaming them. Please don't think it like that. I'm just being honest, though. Because they would not take godly advice, because they would not get the leprosy out of their house. Are you listening to me? Their son ended up in a mental institution. I do not know if he ever came out. So when I say, and God says, you know what? Do you have some leprosy in your home? Do you have some few things there? They're not really right. Are they maybe not glorifying God? Hiding there, maybe in the drawer someplace, or maybe up in the closet where no one will find it, or whatever it might be, it's unclean. God says, don't open a door. Don't give an opportunity for the evil one. It's leprosy. And only the blood of Jesus can cleanse it. Get it out of your home. Cover your home and say, Lord, cover my house in the blood of Jesus. Let the angels encamp on the four corners of my property. Let no evil, no plague ever come nigh my dwelling. Let nothing but the Holy Spirit of God be welcome in my heart and in my home. Amen? Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you that your word is always true. There's no one like you. We look to you and we look to no one else, Father. If there's anything leprosy, any form of it in our houses hiding there, and it's growing, it's multiplying, it's causing sin. It's things that are there that open the demonic door where activity can come in because it's wrong. Lord, right now, we not only repent of that, but Lord God, we remove it tonight. Get it away from us. We'll not let or give any opportunity for any demonic activity or traffic in our heart or home, because we love you, because you've warned us in your word. Lord God, cleanse our houses, our homes from leprosy. Cleanse it right now. Cleanse it. Remove everything that's unpleasing in your sight. Touch people right now. We love you, Lord. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for leading us, guiding us. Thank you for always correcting us, keeping us on course, keeping us on the narrow road. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Thank you that you've given us the awesome privilege of assembling ourselves together where we can come and learn and grow and hear your word. Father, tonight, touch your people. We love you. We praise you. And we honor you tonight. In Jesus' name. And the church says,